Well, I'd like to start the message today by turning back to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs is a book in the Bible in the wisdom literature category, among other books like Ecclesiastes, Psalms, and others. And this category of wisdom literature in the Bible is designed to impart practical principles that the reader can implement into their lives. So for these books of the Bible, this is often twofold. It is at a personal level, as in you can take these principles, apply them into your life right now, and if you do so, then on average, your life will be better than if you avoid these. But it also is at a national and a civil level as well, as in these are the principles that make up a smooth-running community. And if the community goes against these principles, then society can often break down. And here in Proverbs chapter 11, in a section identified as Solomon's Proverbs, we have one of those interesting principles I'd like to draw upon today. It's right here in the first verse. Verse 1 of chapter 11, Proverbs 11, verse 1, it says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Now, what language we have here? An abomination to the Lord. The NIV here has detest, but almost every other translation says abomination. Now, about this verse, it's quick, it's simple, there's nothing hidden about it, no secrets that are buried within there. It's quite clear. There's something very wrong about dishonest scales. Or in a broader context, there's something bad about cheating or using dishonest weights and measurements or trickery or being scammy or what have you. And this principle is also universally applicable. No one likes to be cheated. No one likes to even feel like they're being cheated. We've had to buy 2 used cars in the last year, and even if they were to give it to us for free, we would still come away from the whole thing feeling, ugh, you know, like someone's trying to take advantage of you in some way. And by extension, we know that we are supposed to be trustworthy in our own dealings, not just if we are merchants out in the marketplace using a scale to measure produce that we're selling. It means in everything, honesty in schoolwork, paying the correct taxes, not scamming or misleading people, you name it. All of this is very, very clear. But why is it an abomination? An abomination. The term abomination is usually reserved for things that are extremely wrong or vile or shameful or something like that. Is that what's happening here? Now, cheating is bad. We all know that. We don't like to be a part of it. But is it in the same category as those other things? There are several underlying words in the Old Testament that are translated into abomination, and they all have their own shade of meaning. One of the most commonly used ones, and it's not the one here in Proverbs, is one called shakits. Shakits. It has a different meaning, and it's almost always found in Leviticus 11 or around clean and unclean meats. Let's go back there to Leviticus 11. It's an example of where this is used. Leviticus 11, starting in verse 10, but it's throughout this whole chapter. And you'll recognize it as soon as we go through it. Verse 10, it says, "But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you." It's talking about unclean fish here. "They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination." Verse 12, "Whatever's in the water doesn't have fins and scales. Abomination." Verse 13, "All these birds, abominations, they're not supposed to be eaten." Over and over again, that word is used. Now, that is one word that is translated into abomination, but that's kind of in its own little bucket there. And in some translations, it's often rendered as detestable or loathsome there. That's not exactly what it's talking about here in Proverbs. And when we look at that word that is translated in Proverbs, it gets a little bit more puzzling. Let's go to 2 other places where it's used. Let's go to Jeremiah 32 and verse 35. As we start to look at where that word is used, it's going to hopefully start to pull out an interesting perspective on abomination. Jeremiah 32, just a single verse, verse 35. Jeremiah 32, 35. And it says, "And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did it even come to my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." Okay, that's our same word there. Let's go to one other one. 1 Kings 14, verse 22. 1 Kings 14, verse 22. It says, "Now Judah," 1 Kings 14, 22, "Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed, more than all of their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also perverted persons." This is talking about temple prostitution here. "There were also perverted persons in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." Okay, so we have child sacrifice on one hand, and then we have temple prostitution on the other hand. Both of these are obviously terrible things, right? But they're also kind of different from one another. And if we think about bringing unjust weights into it, these are wildly different things. So what does this mean? And more importantly, how does it have any bearing on our lives today? Well, typically, when the word abomination, like it is in Proverbs 11, is used, it's talking about actions and behaviors that are not just bad ideas, that are not just criminal acts, but are rooted in something spiritually and morally bankrupt. And in addition, these behaviors, while they certainly impact individuals, are more pronounced because they have effects at the entire community and national level. They are problems that, if are left unchecked and allowed to grow, can threaten the whole society and put God's way of life in jeopardy. It's in a lot of these actions that we see some of the strongest condemnation from God in the whole Bible, where he says that if you see this or that behavior, you have to fully uproot that plant, dig out all of the roots, salt the earth, so that it can never, ever grow back again. It's because those behaviors, those actions, and that mindset are not just contrary to God's way of life, but they actively oppose it, and they push back and fight against it. Let's go to a classic example in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, we'll read verses 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Verse 16, it says, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who spreads lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." Well, you might say, like, a proud look, is that the same as child sacrifice? Well, no. I mean, it's obviously not even close. It's not that the individual actions are the same, but the root character of someone performing either of these actions is repellent against God's way of life. It's the oil and water that cannot mix. And when those behaviors are present, you just cannot have any sort of fertile ground where God's way of life can really truly grow. And as a result, God identifies those characteristics as vile to him, shameful, and desires the community to stop what they are doing and to deal with them promptly in order to stop them growing and spreading any further. Finally, one last scripture. This one I think will tie both of our topics together: weights and measurements and abominations, two things you probably never grouped before today. Proverbs 16 and verse 11. Proverbs 16 and verse 11. Proverbs 16, verse 11. It says, honest weights and scales are the Lord's, and all the weights in the bag are his work. Verse 12, it is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Excuse me. The opposite of unjust weights is honesty and integrity in business dealings. When there is trustworthiness in that area, then other things have the opportunity to flourish in a way that God intended. Contrasted immediately is another abomination example. The same word is when a king runs to righteousness, and the whole Bible is filled with examples of what happens to the nation when that happens. As we come across other passages in the Bible, like Proverbs chapter 11, let us take to heart the importance of honesty and integrity in our dealings, but also to understand a little more nuance as to why God thinks that is a good idea. It's the right thing to do, of course, but it also shows that when things are working as God intends, everything works better for everyone involved. Our community, you and me, our nation, the whole world. And when God finally intervenes and puts all of these abominations to rest, the end result isn't just better business transactions, but rather a totally refreshed way of thinking and living for the entire community. So let us bring on the kingdom when all those abominations in all their forms are put aside and righteousness, honesty, and integrity reign supreme.